We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Paul with you. Paul Douglas on a Thursday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. Jordana filled in for Chad today. She will be back in our regular slot tomorrow from 3 to 6. Dave Josephson, DJ, hanging out with me today and trying to keep me out of trouble. It's a losing proposition. We all know that. You may have heard Amy Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, being vetted for a possible VP nod, one of a dozen. But we'll see how that turns out. And in Minneapolis, starting next week, if you're over the age of two, you will need some sort of a face covering, something to cover your nose and mouth, according to Mayor Jacob Frey. Hawaii has some interesting ways of dealing with quarantine. If you fly into Honolulu, or let's say you fly direct into Maui, there is a mandatory 14-day quarantine. For tourists, the rule means you can't leave your hotel room for any reason but medical care. You can't go down to the pool, no spa treatments, you can't hit the restaurant at the hotel, no beach, no shopping, just room service and the same view for two straight weeks. Violate that order, it's a criminal offense that could land you a $5,000 fine, even a year in prison. But again, a year in prison in Hawaii might not be that bad. I'm thinking out loud here. We have a feature called COVID Around the Country, and today we're focused on Hawaii. I just happen to have a friend and business colleague, Josh Priggy, who heads up a company called Sustridge, which is focused on sustainability and climate risk reporting. And Josh lives on the Big Island, just moved to the Big Island. Josh, I'm still envious.
It's still nice to be here in Hawaii, even with the shelter in place. We moved here just before that all started, so we had good timing.
Your timing was perfect. Tell us what it's like. How is it affecting your life, your daily routine? I'm assuming you're still getting out and about. Are you doing shopping, or are you having things delivered?
Yeah, we're able to get, you know, out and about. I think what most people in Hawaii really want to do is go to the beach. It's been interesting navigating the beach rules. Initially, you know, they were all closed and then being open only for swimming and walking for a very long time. But now they're opening up some of the beaches around the cities and the county beaches, still waiting on the state beaches to open up. But we're able to get back to the beaches now with some social distancing rules. But other than that, yeah, I think the plan here is to open up the what they call kamaaina, the local economy, starting early June, so opening up restaurants and those types of things. But they've extended the quarantine rule for travelers and for inner island traveling through June 30th.
Now, the whole quarantine measures, however draconian, have done a good job in insulating Hawaii from many cases of COVID-19, but it's killed tourism, right? I mean, a lot of people are really hurting.
Yeah, I mean, the economy here is based on tourism, so of course you shut off the tourists. I mean, we were getting around 30,000 people a day visiting last year at this time. Now it's around 900. But, you know, that is where the majority of the cases in Hawaii came from, was from tourists and, as well as residents who were visiting the mainland. So the 14-day quarantine, which applies to tourists and to returning residents, was really necessary. And now we're getting, you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been down to zero cases a day. One case a day, two cases a day. It's basically been between zero and two cases a day now for a couple of weeks. So it's really flattened the curve. And, you know, there's some interesting things happening, like the hotels that are still taking guests. they're now using single-use keys to prevent people from leaving the room. So if they leave the room, they can't get back in. And if they go to the desk, the front desk, then they know the quarantine has been broken. There's Facebook groups that have been created by the citizens here to post information and catch people who are breaking quarantine rules. The police are posting wanted pictures on their social media pages for people that are breaking rules there. It's been really interesting to watch the enforcement of this.
Taking it very, very seriously. And it seems like almost borrowing a page from Singapore and China, maybe, you know, a harsher lockdown, but managing to keep those cases down. I guess my last question to you, Josh, what are you doing to stay sane? I know you got a little one at home and you work from home. What are you doing just to keep from losing your mind?
Oh, boy. Well, like I said, we've been going to the beaches, so we couldn't sit at the beach, but we could go in and swim. So we've been getting in the water. We've been swimming. We have a nice deck with a view of the ocean. We've been spending a lot of time out there and really just moving here and buying a home. We've been doing a lot of furnishing of the house. So, you know, Target's open, Costco's open. We've been keeping ourselves busy, just kind of settling in over the past couple of months, and also just going for a lot of drives. The farmers markets are open, so getting a lot of, you know, local fruit at the farmers markets and keeping busy with work. It's been okay.
Awesome. Well, Josh, you hang in there. My best to you and your growing family, and stay safe. Thanks for joining us on CCO.
Thank you so much, Paul. Take care.
You bet. That was Josh Prigge from Sustridge joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. When we come back, the one and only Todd Walker tells us what to do this weekend with physical distancing in mind. Todd is next. Paul with you. Thank you for tuning in. If it's a Thursday at 4:20, that can mean only one thing. Todd Walker has some suggestions on what to do, creative suggestions. Todd, you're over in St. Paul. Were you at a press conference? What are you doing?
Well, you know, Paul, I actually am at La Grola on the patio in St. Paul. I walked from my house and brought myself a White Claw with me. I'm sitting on the patio, yep, illegally. The owner's a buddy of mine, but I'm sitting out here pretending it's summer and the patios are open because I just attended a press conference here that was with Representative Dave Baker from Willmar and Michael Asps, the owner of La Grola, talking about what the restaurants are going through. So I thought I'd share with you some of the highlights and what they discussed over here as I slip on my White Claw. Paul, you a little jealous?
I am a little jealous, in fact. That sounds a lot better. I'm sitting in my basement in my underwear.
Really. If I was sitting out here in my underwear, Paul, I would fear what the authorities would think, and it probably would be not a very pleasant scene. But it was a pretty interesting press conference, Paul, because they're asking the governor to go back to the drawing board, and they're asking to have the restaurants be open June 1st, and they're saying that respect social guidelines and open inside and outside. You know, and doing, if it means 35% is social distancing, and so be it, or if it's 50%, but give the restaurants a chance and be, you know, open up the inside and the outside as of June 1st. So that's a pretty big ask, but the Representative Baker said that they were not included at all in this decision. So they definitely, you could see that there was some ill feelings and some hostility. But, you know, some interesting stories came out of it, Paul. Like the guy that owns Hope Breakfast Bar said that, you know, they were all planning on being open June 1st, and they had, you know, set up all their social distancing guidelines. They had dividers between each table. And he said on Tuesday he actually placed an order of $10,000 worth of food in hopes of opening on June 1st.
Ouch.
So, you know, when you think that's one small restaurant, you can imagine some of the restaurants that were planning on opening and that were larger. And, you know, they had to place a food order with this plan of opening. So that was definitely an interesting point. But, you know, what is so confusing also is that, you know, restaurants like Maynard's or Lord Fletcher's, if they're only going to be allowed to have 50 people on the patio, is it really feasible to even reopen? I mean, I'm sure you've been out there, and that, you know, that patio is huge. And why not 50% capacity? You know, why, you know, the question is, why are you just going with 50 people? And then small little restaurants that have, you know, maybe, you know, seating in the front, is it really, you know, does it really make sense to open? So, I mean, a number of good questions were asked. Let's, you know, I'm personally hoping that the, you know, governor takes a look at this. Mike Asp from Legrola said that he's been talking to the city of St. Paul today, and they've been helpful in talking about, you know, talking about the using the front patio, but there's just so many unanswered questions that, it, you know, what they're actually, you know, what they can do. But you think about that, Lord Fletcher's with 50 people and opening that restaurant, does that really make sense?
Well, yeah. And again, can Russ, I do understand why restaurants want to get back into the game here. But even if it's 50%, can they be profitable? I guess, you know, some will be able to keep the wheels on the bus and keep pushing forward. But, you know, what happens if and when they open up and people get sick and, God forbid, somebody dies? I mean, it's just, it's an impossible situation, an impossible position to be in right now. And
right. I mean, and that question was actually asked by one of the reporters here, and the question was simply asked, you know, do you feel with, you know, certainty that you can responsibly open? And he said, you know, the restaurant industry, yes. He said, we really feel like we have the systems in place, no different than many other places you're going to go to. And if we, you know, if we honor the social distancing guidelines, we feel absolutely confident. You know, I mean, this, like you said, the outbreak could happen in, you know, walking through, you know, somebody's infected at one of the, you know, Target or a gift store you go to. So it is interesting, and it's going to be a challenge, but I'm hoping the governor takes another look at this. But some of the questions also that Mike asked, who owns Legrola, said, so what do you do if you have a restaurant and you are doing 50 people on the patio and in June with our questionable weather, as you well know, Paul, and a storm comes through, winds come through, what do you do? Does everybody run inside? I mean, how do you predict and how do you do staffing?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do during these, you know, June and July, when you're, you know, you have questionable weather and you're going to be subject to what is going to happen. So,
okay.
Yeah, you flood the restaurants. I don't know. So that'll be interesting. So it was definitely an interesting press conference. Many, I think we're going to hear that this is not over yet. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of it.
Todd, we have 2 minutes left, and I want to get to some of the things on your list. You mentioned Safari North Wildlife Park, driving up 371 just south of Brainerd. I've always wanted to stop there, and now it seems with physical distancing, it's a good time. Good idea?
Yeah, you know, Paul, I liked this one because I thought people are itching to get out of town. So get out of town, you know, go through that wonderful Cross Lake area. Brainerd is so beautiful. You know, take in some of the nature and then have your destination be the Safari North Wildlife Park. They discounted the cost to get in. You can drive through in your car. And they're making it so it's going to be an enjoyable experience, even with not being able to get out and be up close and personal. But to me, it gives you an end destination and in a beautiful part of our state.
Very cool. And I like this idea, a day trip to Hudson, Wisconsin. Boy, if you could combine Stillwater and Hudson, you've got a doubleheader.
Yeah, you know, I actually did a story, a print piece on doing a day trip to Hudson. So I went down there, and it is just such a great city. And not only that, you can sit in their bars and restaurants, Paul, and they have some amazing bars and restaurants. So you can go there. You can also take in the beautiful, if you've never gone to Willow River State Park and to check out their waterfall, it's breathtaking. It's stunning. They have a wonderful chocolate shop on, you know, right there in town. So then, you know, pick up some chocolate, pick up a boxed lunch from Lolo American Kitchen and Grill with Craft Bar, which is one of my favorite places, and then head to Willow River Park. It's absolutely stunning. And it's a little bit more open down there, so it's definitely things to do like that.
Very cool. And this made me happy just to see drive-in movie theaters in print. Starlight Drive-In in Litchfield Tell us why we should check that out.
All right. Well, Paul, we talked about drive-in movie theaters being open last week. I checked into this one. This is definitely open in Litchfield. This weekend, they're doing 50% capacity, and the two movies that they're playing is I Still Believe, which is the story of a Christian music megastar, Jeremy Camp, and it's actually a true story. And also the second feature is Call of the Wild, starring Harrison Ford. They both look like pretty interesting movies. It's totally affordable for adults and kids over 13. Basically, it's $8. Under the age of 13, it's only $4. So head out there with your family, bring your own food, go to an old-fashioned drive-in. I think it sounds like an absolutely great time, and I haven't been to a drive-in in years. So to me, that's one of my start items.
Oh, brings back some good memories, Todd Walker.
I know. It's some good memories, and some you probably don't want to share, Paul. Let's be honest. We've all gone to drive-ins.
Some I'm trying to forget. Yeah. All right.
Okay, just tell me this before we have to wrap. Did you ever get in the trunk and sneak into the drive-in movie theater?
I didn't, but a friend did. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Same here, Paul. There was one time we had two in the trunk just to get in the drive-in movie theater. Crazy times, but I'd like to revisit it as an adult.
Todd, it happened where the key broke, and so we couldn't get this person out of the trunk.
No.
And the whole movie, there was pounding in the back.
Paul, you're not being serious.
It interrupted the movie. It took some of the joy out of the movie, the continuous pounding. We eventually went through the back seat, the cushions, and were able to get this guy out that way. Alcohol involved.
Wait, and, true. That is a true story, Paul?
It's a true story, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that tops any of the stories of my embarrassment of going to a drive-in movie theater. But now as adults, let's go revisit it and watch two great movies, bring your own food, and have a wonderful time up there in Litchfield.
Thank you. I think it was a Cheech and Chong movie, too, which seems appropriate. All right. Todd Walker, thank you, and have a great holiday, my friend.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Paul. Have a great holiday to you as well.
You too. When we come back, the one and only Mike Max, are we going to have baseball this summer? That's next. Thursday, getting ready for Memorial Day. Big weekend, the unofficial launch of summer, and I hope you got some plans. Hope you can sneak outside and soak up all the amazing things Minnesota has to offer. And my hope is that soon Minnesota will have professional baseball to offer. ESPN summed it up this way. Major League Baseball's plan to start the season by July 4th relies on a dizzying array of moving parts, including the cooperation of 27 U.S. cities and a foreign country, the availability of more than 200,000 reliable coronavirus tests, and a promise not to interfere with a nationwide fight to contain the pandemic. Other than that, it should be a cakewalk. Boy, oh boy. With us to say hi and to give his two cents, Mike Max. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, how are you, Paul?
Well, you know, it depends who you ask.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't please all the people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of unleashed without Jordana.
Yeah, I know. It's a Thursday that feels a little bit like a Friday because we're coming up on the holiday weekend, so it's just different, you know?
Yes. Let me ask you this, Mikey. Compared to, let's say, last week, last Thursday, are you more optimistic, less optimistic, based on developments that we're actually going to have a truncated, shortened season this year in the Major League Baseball?
More optimistic. And the reason is twofold. Number one is in terms of how much time they have to put. You mentioned all the moving parts, which is true. They also have an unbelievable amount of facilities available to them in the country because none of them are being used. So to train all those things, and their spring training facilities are so good now that the Twins have dorms in Fort Myers. They can do all kinds of things down there if they want to train there, or they could train up here at Target Field and use other parks if they need it as well. Number two, the tests, I think, will be the biggest part of it. If you can get that many tests ready on a regular basis, if they can all be tested, you know, each week, and they do the temperature check, and, you know, there are ways to, if you take a couple of Tylenol, you might be able to pass that test either way, but I don't think that's going to be a major issue. If they can get the number of tests up, that's a key. I don't think they're going to have any problem getting partnerships with the cities, because the cities recognize how good that would be for them to have the people in that area, in that marketplace, focused on some baseball for a while. The other part to this, Paul, is, and Eric Stahl was talking today from Minnesota Wild that he's not all that excited about having a bunch of teams in one city and playing it off. It doesn't really do much for him. The NBA, the Timberwolves went back to work today in voluntary workouts, a handful of players working out today. But the reason this gets complicated is, isn't just the money that they're going to lose because of this. It's because if they don't do it, if these teams, these leagues don't do it now, short of a vaccine, they're going to have the same questions and problems next fall, you know, for basketball and hockey. And
right.
Should we start the season? There's no vaccine. Do we, you know, quarantine, this and that? So at some point in time, unless you want to wait for a vaccine, you do have to figure out some way to do some of this stuff. And so I don't know who wants to be first to go, but baseball seems to be the natural candidate because, A, they're in the middle of their season. They could still salvage a pretty good season. And B, with social distancing, it looks like they would have a chance to make it work. Now, on a local level, they just had a meeting at 3 o'clock today for amateur sports and youth sports and all those things. And they're talking about next week each sport being able to maybe figure out a plan. But that's complicated, too, because if you have baseball games – I was talking to one guy. He said, if we have baseball games, they're talking about no catcher, umpire behind first base, everybody wears a mask. You have to have X amount of people there on site to make sure all this stuff. He said, it's at the point where you go, that's not a baseball season. That's I don't even know what that is. But we can't do that because it would involve just too many people. So there's a lot of things out there that, yeah, you can do it. But is it the same, or would it even be fun by the time you do it? And that's what Eric Stahl's point is. By the time you get done trying to fill all these guidelines, it doesn't look like much of a hockey season that I want to take part in. But somebody's got to get out there, or this fall they're going to have the same problem unless somebody comes up with a vaccine.
I mean, we're talking about disinfecting baseballs, deep mm-hmm. cleaning clubhouses,
yep.
and at least initially banning paying customers
yeah.
from the ballpark. There's some estimates, Maxie, that Major League Baseball is losing roughly $75 million a day. How deep are their pockets? Are any of the professional leagues, I know NFL at the top of the heap, but are any of these leagues in danger of bankruptcy if this thing drags on and they can't get paying customers or can't get, you know, the networks to televise these, even if the stadiums are empty?
I would say not yet. Because the pockets are so deep, and this, one of the big advantages that the three big sports, football, basketball, and baseball have, is that they've been really flush the last several years. They've figured out how to monetize their leagues. They've figured out how to market them, how to take advantage of .com, the regional sports networks, the national television contracts, and the international marketing. So they have been a great investment over the last several years, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball for sure. Now, you did see the Oakland A's missed a $1.2 million rental payment for the month out there at their Coliseum, and they did make the payment because they didn't play any games there. So you could have some individual ownership groups that have some problems, but I think they'll be few and far between, and if they are, it won't be that hard for the league to rescue them because they've got so much money in those leagues right now. So I don't think that right now that's going to be a big problem. It's going to be a big problem if they don't get off the ground, and next year, if it gets to the point where they say, we're not playing until we have a vaccine, now you're going to have some real problems in terms of how long people want to be in. Then there's the other, you know, tentacles. You look at the WNBA right now, which is financed by the NBA. Well, the WNBA is a money loser for them. And now they came in and they got bigger contracts. You know, last year they changed the pay scale. So if you're an NBA owner and you've got this WNBA franchise and every year you're losing money, and they all are, you know, at what point in time do you say, you know what, I'm into this NBA thing, but I can't afford any of this ancillary stuff. So there are things like that, too, that you got to pay close attention to, because the first things to go are going to be the ones that don't make money, the same at the college level.
Oh, boy. Maxie, stick around. I want to ask you about the NBA and the possibility that it may open up at Walt Disney World, that mm-hmm. the games may be played in Orlando. I mean, if you're a fiction writer, I don't know what you do, because you can't make this stuff up. That's coming up next with Mike Max. Paul, back with you. I didn't realize this, but the last time we had a pandemic, a global pandemic, and that's, I mean, what an epidemic means versus a pandemic. A pandemic is, I think, more than one continent. And the Spanish flu of 1918, Babe Ruth actually got sick with the Spanish flu during the spring of 1918. White Sox pitcher Red Faber missed the 1919 World Series because of lasting effects of the illness. Mikey, there are photos online of the Spanish flu with Major League Baseball players and umps all wearing masks. It is a little surreal.
I didn't Pardon know that. One. Well, I got to say this. Ruth came out of it pretty good.
He sure did.
Can you email me those? I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I'm happy to. Yes, absolutely. And look, I wanted to ask you about this article I read at The Athletic talking about Orlando's Walt Disney World Resort being the clear front runner to be the NBA's playing site to resume the 2019-2020 season. Apparently, there's some momentum for Orlando versus Las Vegas. What are you hearing, if anything?
Well, Orlando is, if anybody's been down there, they've got the Wide World of Sports down there, and then they've got the arena that they've got, the Amway Center in town, where the Orlando Magic play. And so you have training centers built in, and you have Disney, as of right now, shut down. I don't know, you know, until further notice, right? And I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. So if you ever walk those grounds, there's a ton of space there. In fact, there's a lot of baseball fields. Local high school teams will go down there during spring break and play games or scrimmages down there. The Atlanta Braves train down there. And they've got what they call the Milkshake Classic down there. And the AAU teams play in there. They're pretty good-sized venues. Hmm. So that you would have a lot of space to play. You could use the arena. You could use the, I think it's two or three different venues that are big enough, and they're set up for TV. All the camera wells are in place. All those things are there. They have some college tournaments there from time to time. Plus, like I said, you'd have the training facilities, and everything is wide open down there right now. Plus, you'd have a lot of easy accommodations for all the teams because there's so many VRBO type condos for rent, hotels, all those things within the confines of Disney that are just a couple minutes away from that complex. So that's why it becomes really easy. Now, I've been out to Las Vegas as well for their summer games, and they too have decent accommodations, but not the same. They have UNLV there and the Mac Center, and they've got a couple of gymnasiums that could be played at as well. But I would think Orlando would offer more in terms of you could easily isolate teams, do all those things that you want right now because there's no demand on those properties down there. And if you've ever been down there, it's just kind of free and easy to walk around down there. There's lots of space, lots of soccer fields and baseball fields and stuff that surround what are the basketball facilities. So I can see why they would like that quite a bit. And then you've also got the University of Central Florida down there, which has facilities as well, I'm sure that they could access if they needed to, and that's why they're the favorite.
Okay. You got Hurricanes, too. You know, that's always a nice touch.
They'd be out of season, though, right? July, isn't it September they start in? When do Hurricanes? Is Hurricanes in September?
The peak is late August, early September. You can get them in July. We've already had one tropical storm last week, so I mean, we'll see. I think the odds of Orlando being impacted by a hurricane...
Yeah, that's jiddling quite a ways, yep.
Mercifully small.
And plus, you're talking about fans either. You throw them out of the equation. You don't have to worry about fans getting to a game because they're not going to be there. So, I think the NBA's maybe their biggest problem is going to be this. A lot of players are really, really rich. They're a victim of their own success. So a lot of these guys are doing a self-examination. They're saying, well, if I don't play this year, I'm still worth fill in the blank, $30 million, $5 million, $50 million. In other words, I don't have to work again. So if there's a chance that I might get affected by this, it looks like I'm in pretty good shape here for the rest of my life. Now that's a pretty good share of players in that league. Now the next tier that says, man, I need to play, I need to make money, I need to advance my career, Yeah, they kind of got to fall in line with those guys on the upper echelon. That's just the way it works. That's the unwritten code of sports. The star players run it, and if they tell you this, if there's a bunch of them, and Chris Paul kind of leads their way there, if they say we're not playing and you object to that, be careful. That's not exactly proper protocol.
Maxie, we've got 30 seconds left. Laurie and I are watching The Last Dance on ESPN. We were down there. We saw Michael Jordan fly through the air at United Center. I have new respect, though, grudging respect for Scottie Pippen. If you haven't watched it, you really need to check that out.
Yes. I just played one of my interviews there. I interviewed Jordan three times one-on-one, and I played one of those in the news the other night, and it was fascinating for me to go back and look at the interviews with him because he basically was the same interview that he did in Last Dance, except I got him to talk about his family, which was pretty interesting, too. But, it's a fascinating study in what happens with every team. It just gets so blown up when it's a great team.
And poor Jerry Krause, I don't know if he'll ever live this down.
I don't think so.
Man. Mike Max, thanks for keeping me company. You take care
you
of my
too.
Friends.
You too. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Mikey. When we get back, some good news from the CDC. They actually had some good news. That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.